You're listening to the Live Out Loud podcast with River Wynn and Michelle Flamer.
Hello, hello, Live Out Loud podcast lovers. Today we are in just for such a treat. I'm so excited. We've been working on getting Michelle on this podcast for a bit, and I'm really excited. So River is in here today, which is why I didn't introduce with the high River that I usually do. But Michelle Mignogna is here today as a life coach, expert in human design. And I'm going to let her say hello and tell us a little bit about herself. So hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Love
that. I love that.
So yeah, thank you so much for having me on the podcast today. Really excited just to speak with folks about, you know, everything that I do. So as Michelle mentioned, I am a life and soul purpose coach, and I am just absolutely passionate about helping folks really discover who they are before society and everybody and everything else told them who they should be. And so one of my favorite tools to do that with is human design. And I really find it super supportive when folks are going through some sort of a transition period. So I do have a background. I worked for about 10 years in higher education. So that kind of, you know, 20 something, maybe approaching their Saturn return, I find that a lot of them tend to go through what they're now calling their quarter life crisis. And they're having these thoughts of, wait, I, you know, went to school and I'm in this job, but it's not really what I want to do. And so, yeah, I'll help them like tap back into their human design.
Love that.
Yeah. And I've started to work also with a lot of parents and new moms, and, you know, moms are trying to figure out if they, you know, say that they just were on maternity leave and they're deciding whether or not to go back to the job that they had before. Yeah. And they're like, wait, I didn't really like that. I actually, that was not fulfilling. It wasn't satisfying. And I don't want to bring that frustration home to my family. So it's supportive in that sense. And then randomly, which I'm really excited about, I'm starting to work with a lot of retirees because they really never had the opportunity, you know, as the generations go, you know, they were the ones that kind of had a job and stuck with it for 30, 40 years. And so it might not have been what they wanted. And so at this new phase, they're like, wow, okay, what can I actually explore that's going to light me up inside? So it's just applicable at so many phases of life. And I think it's so fun. So yeah, excited to chat.
I love all that. So what's like one of your favorite things to do within your life coaching business? What gets you fired up?
Oh, I love helping folks. I love just guiding them and seeing them come to those aha moments on their own. So, if we're talking human design, not sure if folks are really familiar or not, but my profile is a 1-3. And so with that, the two components of that is I like to gain a lot of knowledge about things, and, you know, kind of build that base and then do my research. But then I also like to dive in and experiment. And so I feel like I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, kind of, you know, made a ton of mistakes in life. And so if I'm able to kind of, you know, speak with a client, or I do group coaching too, and I have a cohort right now that is of that Saturn return age. So I'm kind of sharing that wisdom from the other side and just like, hey, just some things to watch out for, and just seeing kind of those like light bulbs turn on, or having them, you know, take a second to journal and then they share with everybody and they're like, I just had this major realization. I don't want to be an engineering major. And then kind of, you know, walking through possibilities after that and seeing them understand that they don't have to follow that conditioning is just, yeah, really, really great.
I love that. So within human design, let's tell a few people, like, you know, because some people are still unfamiliar with it. I love it. River loves it. River actually sent a few questions so that I could ask you today, which would be fantastic. But I love human design. And just from my perspective, like not being a professional, I really love utilize. I think what it really did for me was affirm what really the way that I do go through life. Like it was very affirming when I read that I was a generator. And I am such a generator now that I've like digged in, like we almost all laugh about like, ah, you're such a Manny Jen now, like you're such a manifester, you know.
Yeah.
But it really is kind of fascinating that utilizing the component of astrology, like when you were born, and those types of things. But the more that I read about it, I mean, really, it's about what the fuck lights me up, like gut, just like what gets me super jazzed. So it's just fascinating. So there's five types. So I would love for you to just maybe take us through a little bit of that and whatever explanation you want to give, like, you know, like a, you know, one word or two words or whatever you want to say regarding how each of them show up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the first things that you learn in human design is your energy type. And so, you know, the thought in human design is that when you utilize your energy in the way that you were designed to, you know, you're able to go through life with more flow and ease, maybe experience less friction. And then, you know, all the ripple effects from that, like call in aligned opportunities and all the juicy stuff, right? So the five types. So the first one we'll talk about is a manifester. Mm-hmm. So when you think about a manifester, they're really like the spark. So they tend to, they're designed to use their energy by coming up with ideas and then presenting them to the crowd. So you'll find that manifestors have really big auras and, you know, some people get a little bit, you know, worried about what I'm going to say next. You know, their aura tends to be either really magnetic to somebody that's drawn to them and to their idea or whatever they're talking about, or it could be a little bit repelling. Mm-hmm. But once a manifestor learns to kind of work with that, and it's really designed to be protective so that they work with people that they're supposed to work with, then, you know, they can again move through life a little more easily. So that's really what the manifestor is here for, to bring us all of those sparks and those creative things. And then a generator, I'm also a generator. So
oh, I know that's exactly awesome.
What that's like.
It is one of the most popular, isn't it? I think, like, as far as not meaning a popular way, but I think it's most common.
Yeah, it's around 30-ish% of the population. Mm-hmm. So generators are, we have our internal battery pack or this like source of energy. And so kind of like the worker bees, we can continue to go, 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 and, you know, get a lot of stuff done. And with the caveat that when we're working on stuff that lights us up, we can do that. So it's important for generators to really learn to be protective of our energy and discerning of what kind of projects we are working on, because other folks may tend to see that in us, say in a career setting, and they could take advantage of that energy, but that's the quickest way. Yeah. To just completely burn out, or, you know, just this is where folks kind of get stuck in a job that they've just been doing at, and maybe they've been getting promotions and raises because they're so good at it, because they're doing, but maybe it's not actually fulfilling for them. So I don't know. I'm sure you resonate with that as a generator.
Yeah, I definitely do. It's really fascinating how I just thought I was so unique in the sense, because I'm also a true morning person. Mm-hmm. So, and some generators, I mean, they're not necessarily morning people, but for me, it's like, I call it prime time. I'm up at 4 a.m. to like 8 or 9 a.m. That is literally that bucket for me where I can be the most productive. It's super quiet. There's not a lot of, you know, calls coming through. My emails aren't blowing up yet. And it's just that special time for me. That's like, I kind of call it that magic hour, which is why I call it prime time.
I love it. Yeah. That's totally generator energy. You're up and ready to go. I will say again, if you're excited about what you're about to work on.
Totally. Then I am lit up. Exactly.
Nice. And then there's a third type. So that is a combination of the first two. It's called a manifesting generator. So with them, and I'm going to say this with all the love in the world and respect, but we kind of call them the ADHD folks of the human design world, because only do they have these creative ideas, but they also have the generator fire where they will start to experiment and tap into each of those ideas. And so that is really enriching for them. So if there's a manifesting generator in your life or you are one, it's going to be important for you to have a lot of irons in the fire. There might be one main project or thing that you're working on, but having some stuff on the back burner that can keep you excited and going is not a bad thing. And this is where, you know, folks might need to release that conditioning of pick one thing, stick to it, master it. Mm-hmm. That's just not good advice for a manifesting generator. And so
yeah, I kind of associate the manifesting generators as like Lady Gaga, like Taylor Swift. And I haven't read to see if they are, but for me, it's like these visionary humans like Oprah, right? And then they can have all the ideas, they can throw them on the whiteboard, and then they kind of knock out what makes them excited, you know? And, but it, so they're able to generate those, that process.
Yeah.
And create excitement around that.
Yeah, totally. It'd be fun to look up their charts and see what they are.
I know, I'd be curious, but that's just sort of feels like they're just visionaries. They can see things from the 32-foot lens.
Yep.
But then also put it into a scope of work for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on to the fourth, we have, let's see, projectors. So projectors are what we call non-energy beings. So those first three that we talked about are energy beings. So they do have more of that internal source of drive, of power, and can keep, kind of keep going. Whereas the next two, projectors being one of them, don't have that internal source of energy, which isn't a bad thing, but it's just something for projectors to know. So getting a little more into it, projectors are like the seers of the energy type. So they're really designed to use their energy in such a way where they can see either deeply into or through a person, maybe more so than that person is aware of or even knows themselves. And then they also can really do great at seeing the big picture. So they're the ones that are designed for efficiency. So in a team setting, for example, they might be able to be at a meeting, see everything that's going on, and then, you know, provide all of this information and feedback as to how things can work better, faster. And so because of that, because they are such at, they like operate at such a high pace, projectors really need to rest because they'll get a lot of stuff done. They'll process a lot of information quickly, but they can do that in about 4 hours, what might take somebody else like 8 hours to do. So again, like this world is not necessarily set up for them. They're going to need to nap in the middle of the day, which, you know, is not how typical society is. So it's interesting.
That's so fascinating. My daughter's a projector and yeah, we're gonna talk about the kids piece, but it is, if I invite her in to share her wisdom, she is on fire.
Oh, I just got chills.
And it's cool because I've learned to do this. Like when we're in a family grouping setting, like with her grandparents or friends of the family, like people she's not like, I mean, she's comfortable with, she's known them for years, mm-hmm. but pulling that out of her is like, it is now I totally know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I get her talking at these family events. And when we leave, everyone's like, she's so articulate and knows so much. And I mean, it is about 3 to 4 real deep topics that she can connect on and share if anybody's willing to listen. I'm used to it, but it's fun to like say, hey, what about this? When you were kind of, you know, blah, 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 you know, and just pull it. It's really cute to see.
Oh, that's so great that you're using that already with her. Oh my gosh. Because she's just going to feel so seen and validated. And that's, I love it. That's awesome.
Me too. I really do love that. And then the last one, reflector, right?
That's reflectors really, are rare.
Yeah, they're rare. I may have met one recently, but yeah. What's your take on, it's just interesting. And do you know what kind of jobs they typically go for? I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. So reflectors make up about 1% of the population, and they have completely open centers. So in human design, there are nine centers, which are similar to the chakra system. The chakra has seven, but nine, there's nine in human design. And so because of that, they are really meant to absorb all of the energy that's around them, whether that is environmental or the people that are around them or the task that's being done. And then they take that and they kind of, without even knowing it, just by their way of being, they kind of reflect that back to the entire group. So the group can see if things are working or not working. And so it's really important for reflectors to find those spaces where they feel very comfortable in. Those are the types of environments that they're going to thrive in. Also places where they are, they're meant to work on their own to kind of master a skill. And then again, once they're in that environment that's really comfortable, where they are respected, or similar to a projector where you have to invite them, they need to be included in the group. And that's just that sense of safety and, being comfortable sharing what everybody else might be feeling, but might not be comfortable saying yet. That's really where the reflectors can shine.
So interesting. So how do some of your clients use, how are you helping them use human design, like in career? Let's just talk about career first.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So career. I have a client who is a projector. We're actually coming up to the end of her time with me, but I was like, I'll still be here no matter what. It'll be great. But she had been in a job for I think 8 years, and it was a great job, and it was one that, she had steadily been moving forward and up in. And she just had, an unfortunate, episode of complete burnout, complete exhaustion, just really, really just realized that she was unhappy. And I don't know if I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it was a really kind of a dark period. And she knew that something needed to change, but she didn't know what it was. And she couldn't pinpoint work at that point. It was just everything just felt like it was crumbling. And so, we started our journey together. We were talking about, where she was, how things are going. I like to have folks talk about their different buckets in life. So there's a relationship bucket, career bucket, there's a self bucket, which is body, mind, and soul, or spirit, whatever
Love that.
resonates. And then there is that personal growth or education academic bucket. So we started by talking about all of those. And, long story short, she came to the realization that she just didn't want to be there anymore. Like I said, she was a projector. She didn't feel valued. She didn't feel like she was invited into the conversations. There were a couple opportunities that she was excited about to switch teams and work on something different that, caught her interest. And, she would ask her supervisor, but again, didn't really get the support in what she was looking for in terms of transitioning. So it just started to, she started to recognize all these things that were misaligned. We also dug into some of her gates and her channels and, talked to her about what her natural gifts are and how there are so many that are, especially when it comes to creativity, because she worked in an electronics company. And she's like, she just wasn't able to use any of those. She would tell me how excited she would get, color coding a presentation, because that was as creative as she could get with the, with the textbooks. But so at the end of our time together, she was going to make, she made this plan on how she was going to transition out. And then something happened that was, very unexpected, but we call it, the universe. It just did its thing because she didn't know if she would ever feel ready. And they ended up dissolving her position.
Wow.
And at that
Stroke
point,
of luck. Thank you,
right,
universe.
that's exactly what happened. And so it was fun. We pulled some oracle cards, and one that came up was a Council of Light card. And it was, your higher powers are, they're going to keep you safe. They're doing this for a reason, because you need this nudge. And so now she's actually working on her passion project, which is starting a nonprofit that specifically brings awareness to mental health using music. And so she's just so excited to keep going with that. And so I said, okay, after we're done coaching, like, let's get into the business nitty gritty with each other. We'll co-work together.
A friend of mine and I were just talking about how music is just so remarkable. It can uplift you. It can make you feel seen and heard in a moment. It can help heal you from the inside, like for the, you know, the chakra frequencies and things like that. Like, There's so many beautiful ways to incorporate music. So I'm super excited for her. That's awesome.
Yeah, me too. So look out for it. It's called Illuminate Hope is what she's working on, A Path Out of Darkness. And I'm so proud of her.
I love that. So something that River and I talk a lot, have been talking a lot about, and especially during February, we were talking a lot about dating and like around human design, like, are generators supposed to date other generators? Or, I mean, are there like better energy types for each other? Like, what do you suggest?
You know, I would never suggest to date someone based off of their human design. I kind of liken that to dating someone, you know, I would never date a Scorpio or something.
Right. Okay.
I wouldn't do that. But what I will say is really helpful with human design are there's ways that you can overlay two body graphs. And that's basically a human design chart. And you can see where maybe you have some specific, and this is getting a little deeper for folks maybe that aren't quite there yet with human design, but sure, where you have two gates that actually connect and make a channel. And so you can see where you actually really kind of come together and can complement each other. And so that can always make things easier. So that's really fun to get kind of like a joint reading. But the other thing that I would really just say with human design is learning the human design of your partner, as well as knowing your own, because it'll just improve communication across the board. So for example, my husband is, he has an emotional authority. Mm. And so he kind of just rides whatever emotional wave is coming at him for that day. And I don't have that. So my emotional center is completely open. Even more of a side note, my whole family, so both of my kids and my mom who lives with us, they are all emotional authorities. So I've got all these emotional waves in the house.
You got a ton of feelers.
Oh my gosh, all the feels, and I'm just absorbing everything, and I'm very straight line, and I'm just like, why is everybody crying? I don't understand it. But
do you feel like you have to smudge yourself quite a bit?
My office, I'm always like, stay out of my office.
I need my energy cleared in here, people. Yeah, exactly. Like every moment you walk out, you're like, oh crap, I just felt something.
Yeah, that's actually very true. Like, I'll go around the corner and see my son and he's like angry because he's playing a video game, you know, or my daughter is, you know, happy playing Barbies. It's just, it's a lot, but it's helped me to understand, because I used to ask my husband all the time, you know, why are you feeling so sad? Like, what's wrong? And that's not helpful for emotional authorities. They just feels. And instead of trying to, figure out why they're feeling that way, it's better for them to just fully dive into it, like lean harder into it and process it. Then they'll move through that feeling and get to a more neutral place on their wave. So it's really been helpful for them.
A question that was just popping in my brain is that I have friends who don't know the time they were born.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a workaround for that with human design? I'm just curious. I mean, that's just literally me being curious.
Yeah, absolutely. So that has happened before, and that is a really tough place to be. What we say is we try and narrow it down. So if you know any sort of relative, or if you can find somebody that can narrow it to, like, you know, AM or PM even would be a really helpful chunk. And then you honestly are able to just plug a couple different timepieces in that are like three different hours apart. So if they say AM, you know, you might want to try like 3, 6, 9, you know, 12, and just look at those charts and have somebody that really knows you really well, that has been with you, especially earlier on in your life, when we have less conditioning, that can kind of help to see, help you determine if these different components really are you or not. And you just kind of need to match it that way. So unfortunately, there's no official fix, but that's probably the best advice I could give.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So then the other part is let's go to the kids, right? Let's go to intentional parenting. I'm a big proponent of leaving, and I have done a great job of this. I know this about myself around the fact that I am not parenting Caden the way that my mom or dad parented me. So that was the first, that's like the first level. Like they're born and then you're like getting to know them, right? And then like year three comes around and they're starting to show their personality a little bit more. Age four, they're definitely showing, you know, some of their tastes and likes and distaste, you know, whatever like they don't like. And so you're learning this child, and in those early years, you're not really parenting in a way, you're just like keeping them alive at that point, right? Like there's not like a real reciprocity going on. They're just so young. But that's like around the
literally
time.
My mug.
Oh my God.
It says today's goal, keep the tiny humans alive.
Exactly. I mean, that's like all we're doing at that point, and hopefully enjoying them in the in every age, right? But it wasn't really until she was 9 or 10. And then we were talking about my ex-wife and I getting divorced, just not being happy ourselves. And that's where I really started to put the focus back on to Caden at that point, just to make sure, like, is she okay? How is she dealing with this? Like, and she's a super rock star because we're just honest with her. And, you know, that's all that's all kids really need, depending upon, doesn't even matter. It's like, they're well loved, heard, seen, fed, you know, to stay alive, but also like just being conscientious. And really, that's where I read the book, Conscious Parenting. That's where I started to understand that she is really different from who I am. And then later on, this little matching piece last year was figuring out that she is a projector and I'm a generator. And for an example, and I don't know if this resonates for you being a generator too, I was like, why the hell can she get up with me on a Saturday morning and be excited like me to go to the farmer's market? And then after that, like go do something cool and fun out in nature, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like done after that. Like that, I do two couple of things. I'm happy, can come back to the house and do the chores, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But not for her. And I kept thinking this was just an age thing, but it's not. It's literally a projector thing that they need a slow roll into the morning. And then you have to kind of invite them into what your thoughts are around, like, well, I was thinking of going to the farmer's market, or I'm thinking of taking us to the zoo. And this is a couple of things why that I want to do that. Like, and then they have to like make that decision. Like you have to make them almost think it's their decision.
Yes.
In a funny way, like but I get it, but I was like so mad. Like, why is she being lazy? Like I was kind of being derogatory. Like, why isn't she just like me? Like, let's just get up and go. So it's really fascinating learning around projection. And like I was saying earlier to you is like, inviting her into conversations and teaching her that I'm excited, or not teaching her, but showing her that I'm genuinely excited about what she's going to share with me.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. And that's the strategy. That's what it's formerly called is the strategy for projectors. Is projectors, you know, thrive best when they are invited into situations. So yeah, I think all of those things that you're doing are so key and so right for, you know, a projector child. And it's so fun to hear how it's lines up with human design. And that's really all human design is, right? It's like Ra Uruhu, who was the original kind of like downloader of the system. He just said, it's a big experiment. And this is what I say to my clients too, like, try it out. Like, what does it hurt? You know, take what resonates and fits and works and leave the rest. But when it does work out, it makes things so much easier.
I mean, now I have expectations set, right? Unless we're like on vacation somewhere, but then she already knows those expectations. Like, hey, we're here for 5 days. We're going to make the most of these days.
Yeah.
But it is really fascinating how I just have to like, okay, so this is what we're doing. And like, how does that feel for you? And, you know, it's just, it's so interesting. And then add teenager, you know, on top of it, it's like, nope, I don't want to do anything.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm not there yet. Mine are 5 and 8. So we're in the thick of all of that still. But one thing that human design has really helped me with is understanding my daughter, who's the 5-year-old. And she is something called her definition is quad split. And so again, this is like a deeper layer of human design, but you know, back to those 9 centers, essentially, all of her centers are closed, meaning in a chart, they would be colored in. So she is very sure of herself, very stubborn, even more so than, you know, kids that age can be. But her energy in the centers are connected in 4 different little islands is what I like to call it. And so the way that she processes energy and information is it's very subjective because her energy doesn't flow throughout her body. And I am the complete opposite. I am a single definition. So all of my closed centers are connected. So I can see things, process very quickly. Let's go. So we were having meltdowns about what to wear before school because I was like, just pick something. I don't understand why it takes so long. Like, you know, and I thought it was kids and age, but then I, you know, learned about her human design and really dug into it. And because of that, I've been able to make a switch. And so now, you know, before we go to bed, I look at the weather, you know, pick out a few different choices, like 3 options, and I put them out for her. And I'm like, okay, take a look before you go into bed so that she can let it marinate and do whatever it needs to do while she's sleeping. Then she wakes up and, you know, it still might be a little bit of back and forth, but it has been a lifesaver. So
I love how you utilize that.
Yeah. Just knowing little things like that has been so, so helpful.
So even though River couldn't join us today because she had some plans, but she actually sent over a couple of questions.
Okay. Love it.
And okay. River's a manifester.
Okay.
And she's like, my daughter 8 is a manifester. My son 5 is a generator. Bedtime is rough because my manifester daughter and I are so ready to sleep and rest while our generator dude is still bouncing off the walls. Tips for managing bedtime with 2 different energy types?
Yes. And that's so common for those energy types. So I actually have the same thing. My daughter is 5, a generator. My son is 8, a manifester.
Love this then.
Yes. So what we've noticed really helps is, first, aside from bedtime, just figuring out those things that require a lot of energy and a lot of focus from your manifestor child. So for him, he is super into Rubik's Cubes right now and also Legos. And so we will, after we do homework and we, you know, do the whole nighttime routine, if he still has energy, then we'll give him, you know, X amount of time and we'll be really right there with him so that we can keep the process going really fast paced to keep their mind going. Cause what you need to do is burn off that energy so that for the generator child.
Yeah. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
I misspoke. Yeah. Thank you.
That's okay.
So you want to burn off that energy so that they can, go to sleep feeling like that was their time well spent, that they used all of their energy. They're ready to go to bed. So
do you save like a special Lego kit? Like, you know, like an hour, like after their bath time and they're kind of like ready and it's like the little bit of that hour of chill time. Do you give your little generator something like a cool thing to do like that? And then hopefully the time and timing it right so that everyone can sort of still go to bed around the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So whatever, either saving that or, you know, we'll do the challenge with the Rubik's cubes. So that, you know, it's making sure like I'm right there and timing it, like, okay, like this is your challenge now. How fast can you do this? Because they just need to like go, 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 and kind of let their internal battery get tired and feel like they've accomplished.
Oh, that's a great idea. So if River has some little kit, like Lego kits, you know how sometimes they like all the different sizes, but then timing him will make it a little bit more exciting, and it'll give him a little more energy, obviously, because he's like, now he's like, oh my God, I'm being timed. And there's a whole other emotional brain active, you know, activity going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah.
And then obviously don't have to worry about the manifestor because they're ready to crash. So that's good. And then she said, if you have more than one child, how do you manage the needs of each energy type as a parent? Do you keep consistent house rules or approach each child with different expectations? I love that question.
Yeah, that's a really great one. And sorry, I definitely hope I wasn't confusing with that last explanation. I know I switched up the energy types.
No, but I mean, just everybody, she was just talking about generator kid.
Yeah, generator kids. So with that, we do keep consistent household rules, but the way that I encourage my kids to, you know, if they're not doing the expected thing, is I'll use something specific to them. So it's the same rules across the board, but just different languaging for each. Mm-hmm. So for example, this is getting into, let's see, what is really helpful? Their profiles are really helpful for me when I do this. So my daughter has, and those are those numbers again. So in her, she tends to be very much of the hero profile. That's most dominant for her right now. Mm-hmm. So she likes to help. So when it comes time to clean things up, I will really like to use the term like, oh, you know, Barbie is not in her dream house. She needs somebody to rescue her and put her into bed so she can get a good night's sleep. Okay. Or, you know, hey, Ava, you know, can you help your Gammy just finish folding the laundry so we can all get ready for bed? Or, you know, so using that kind of languaging will connect with her a little bit more. And it tends to be a little bit more motivating, where my son is really in his like role model or leader. That's kind of the line six in him. So I like to use the languaging of being a leader. He also is a networker. That's another part of his profile. Mm-hmm. So that they really tend to have a lot of influence on people around them. So I say, hey, can you be a really great example for Ava and show her like how we're actually supposed to put the books away so that they're in order, or, mm-hmm. you know, put all of your Diary of the Wimpy Kid books together so that she can see that and do that on her bookshelf. So using those things, you know, and I guess, you know, the house rule would be, okay, we just need to clean up the playroom before we go to bed, but it's saying it in a different way that will connect to each of them and kind of like spur each of them.
Okay. So selfishly, what about a projector kid? Like, how do I get her to stay on top of cleaning her room and putting things away? I mean, it's a hot mess in there right now.
So I would probably ask more about her chart. So like what her profile would be.
Okay, to see. I'll send it to you after then.
Okay, yeah, because I think those, you know, those types of different areas really will support, because she'll have the energy. I would say, you know, if I had to go just based off of projector, do it at a time where she isn't in her period of rest. So
100%, because even getting her to brush her teeth in that period of rest is really hard. So I'm like, brush your teeth while you're doing, you know, taking your shower. Like, I don't care. Like, you can bring it in the shower with you. Just do it. You know what I mean? It's just like pulling teeth at her rest period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be just kind of like first line. But yeah, send me her chart and we'll look at her definition.
Okay, that's cool. Sorry, fair enough.
Profile.
And then whatever you report, I'll share it with people, you know, just like, hey, that projector piece. And then her last question was, how do you raise a manifestor kid to unapologetically use their voice and gift of initiation?
That's a great one. So for manifestors, their strategy, which we didn't really get into, is to inform and then initiate. And so with that, it's really giving them space and opportunities to practice those two skills together. So say there might be a weekend and you don't necessarily have plans, then you could kind of ask them, you know, because manifestors have that spark and get those ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So you could take a second and say, hey, think about, you know, we've got some free time today. The weather is going to be such and such. You know, what do you think would be great to for us to do together? And so let your manifestor take a second and let those like downloads and those hits come in. And then, you know, when looks like they're ready or when you're ready, like, oh, maybe over breakfast, you know, okay, well, did you get any ideas? What were those ideas? Okay. And then kind of help them process through, you know, because the key piece there is for manifestors to use their energy properly. It's not just having the ideas and moving forward. It's that informing first piece. Mm. And so it's helping them practice the skill of talking about it, because when they inform everybody that's going to be impacted by whatever they then initiate, that's going to make it easier for them.
That's funny, because anytime River, we have like, she has new ideas for running the podcast, or we want to create like a retreat, she will literally call me first and just download the whole thing. Like, she just needs to literally verbal diarrhea it all over. And then, you know, as a generator, I'm like, all right, I could see how this and this will work. I mean, we're a really good team that way, because I'm like, I can put her ideas into actual action, right? Like, which is really
a perfect pairing.
It is. It's kind of fun that way. I love all that. What else would you suggest, like, for parents to start this process of, you know, really initiating this new information around their children? And do you have any information, like, on your website? Or, and then also, and I'm going to share your information for sure, because Mother's Day and Father's Day is coming up. And I think that could be a really beautiful, cool gift to give mom, like a reading. And also, you know, maybe if she has a couple of kids, like to go through that a little bit with you and basically just buy some time with you and have, you know, the charts to go through those charts with you at that time.
Yes, that would be great. I love that. So I don't have any, you know, anything on my chart specifically around parenting yet, or I'm sorry, on my website. Yeah. But yes, I think booking a session would be great, because it is, human design is the science of differentiation. So it really helps us understand how we're all super unique. And I think that fully goes hand in hand with conscious parenting. And so not wanting, you know, to do parent the same way that we were parented. That was definitely one of, you know, the things that I wanted to do right away is, you know, I've got to do things differently. And it's that the overarching piece of just recognizing that each of your children are going to be very, very different from one another. Nice. I even have in my group coaching, I have twins that are 1 minute apart and their charts look so different. It is.
Gotcha. That's crazy.
Yeah. And they can recognize it in each other very, very well. And it's just, it is so fascinating. So
how old are they?
31, I think.
Oh, that's cool that they're working, that they're both working with you in that way.
Yeah. It's been so fun. And it's, you know, we kind of go to them and we're like, twins, what are your takes on this?
Because I love that. But, so, our good mutual friend, Michelle.
Yes.
Who's been on the podcast twice already. Mm-hmm, so she's definitely, I know she's amazing. We talk a lot about growth mindset, and she recently did one of your one of your vision boarding classes. Now, you do these quite often? Do you do them virtually and in person? Like, what do you do?
So for the vision board workshop, I really use human design as a way to kind of fast track manifesting, if you will. So the combination of human design and vision boarding. And because we physically make vision boards, I have mine up on the wall. I'm not sure if you've seen Michelle's, but we do them only in person right now. Yep. Cool. So I do it probably once every quarter. So I will have another one coming up this summer, but there is one specific thing in human design. Now, in the full workshop, I go over quite a few different components that are supportive, but there's one in particular I want folks to be aware of that would be, you know, a really fun opportunity for you to do this at home or with a child, especially as summer is coming up. So as you look at your chart, there are four arrows that are usually around kind of like the head area of the body graph.
Yeah.
And you look at the bottom right arrow. And so what that does is that tells you your manifestation style. So if it's pointing to the left, then that means you're a specific manifester. So in this whole realm of, you know, manifestation and things like that, those are those people that have to get really, really clear on what they want. If you want a certain pair of shoes, you need to find a picture of those pair of shoes, put those on your vision board. But now thinking if it's the right, if it's facing to the right,
then yeah,
those folks are non-specific manifestors. And so for non-specific manifestors, they don't necessarily need to know exactly what pair of shoes they want, but they need to really tap into the vibe or the feeling that they're going to get by owning that pair of shoes. So it could be, these are going to make me feel relaxed and comfortable and supportive, or these shoes are going to make me feel seen when I walk in the room. People are going to notice me. So they need to tap into that instead. And so knowing those two different things will really help you craft different versions of your vision board. So I think that's just something like really fun to play around with.
I love that. Do you find cutting out pictures of, out of magazines and things like that super helpful? Like the more visual it can be, or is it about having words displayed on there? Because I know everybody's so different. I typically love visual. Like if I see an A-frame, like exactly as I want it, like I want to look at that. Right. Because I have like all these visions in my mind, but if I find a cool picture, I want to print something out, then I put that on.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. And I do think that it does have to do with what it is that you're trying to call in. So, you know, if it's a job that you want, maybe it's, you know, you might not necessarily know what company that is, but you might be able to put words that describe like that work culture or how you're going to feel after work. Whereas if you do want a specific car, then in that case, you know, it might be more supportive to find a picture of, you know, that particular car.
Gotcha.
But also paying attention to the arrow. So, I mean, mine's a combination of both because there are some specific things that I want. But it's also words like expansive and, you know, visible momentum. So
yeah, sometimes vision boards are just good reminders of where we want to be anyways. Like, you know, like we want to be expanders or we want to travel more. So you might put, you know, like cut out something that says travel, you know, to just remind you that, oh yeah, I want to travel more, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think whatever it is that the person needs to look at, to jog that subconscious of we are what we think, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I love this. And I mean, is there any other cool, fun things that you want to share or anything coming up soon that you would like to share with the people?
Yeah. So speaking of parenting and human design, so I have a really good friend that I work with. Her name is Crystal, and she does something called Cosmic Blend, where she does some human design. She also ties in a lot of astrology and astrocartography, which is really fun. But we are working together to put together a workshop specifically for moms called More Than a Mama. And so just reminding mothers that yes, parenting can be all consuming at times, but you know, you got to tap back in and, you know, like everyone says, put your oxygen mask on first. So just take a little bit of time to remember who you are and all the things that you love. So that's coming up towards the end of May. I don't want to share a specific date yet just because we're waiting for the venue to confirm, but that will be on my website and social media. And then following up, we are doing one, which is another reason why I love talking about parenting today, a parenting using human design workshop in June. So those are two really fun ones to look forward to. You know, with schools getting out, parents are going to be at home with their littles. Like, what do I do now? So that might be a really supportive one to just kind of dive deeper, take this first look.
All right, so they're in person. What part of the country are they in?
They're in San Diego, California. And the More Than a Mama workshop, though, we will be doing likely another version virtually, because we do have quite a few folks in our communities that aren't in San Diego. But, you know, for the first one, we're going to be making some little essential oil rollers that are, you know, supportive for your energy type. And so we want to make sure that those are in person for moms too.
Oh, so what's a good scent for us generators?
Oh, generators. Generators really will thrive on anything that is kind of inspires energy, right? So like the oranges, the citrus, those are really helpful to kind of keep.
You're going to freaking laugh. You know what I've been wearing for literally like 15 years? Clinique Happy.
Yes.
And it's just so vibrant and citrus. Yes. Like it just makes me, it literally does make me happy. And like, I can't do florals. I like wood stuff because it reminds me, it is only because it triggers the fact that I love nature, right? And that's like, so that's a good trigger, but I really do like fall into like the citrus category and love wearing it. And I just can't give it up. It's so
That's perfect. Yeah.
There's all these different types, but I don't want to give away like that kind of stuff, because I know, you know, you'll share that later on if you know, when everyone shows up. How many people are you going to have at these retreats? So this way, if people want to make the trek, if they're maybe even in LA or, you know, Orange County, that's nice and close, or even here in Phoenix, it's an easy drive.
Yeah. So we have a space for about 25 to 30 folks, per the venue. So it'll be fun. Nice little intimate moment. It's going to be a 2.5 hour workshop each time. And it's going to be fully immersive. So we're going to do some drop-ins, some meditation, some breath work, really understanding some human design, a little bit of Dharma work as well. So that's going to be fun. That's a little more on my soul purpose coaching on what I do. So tapping into that, and then really making it actionable and having some takeaway things for parents and moms specifically.
Well, I am a big fan of you, and I love all of this that you're doing. I will absolutely share your website. Can people follow you on Instagram? Is that your personal, or is that your coaching Instagram? So we'll make sure to give whichever one you want to give out.
Yeah. At lifeprep.me is my coaching Instagram. So Perfect. Feel free to find me there for all kinds of reminders, daily tips and tricks, and, you know, a little kick in the ass, because we all need that every once in a while, right?
Yeah. Especially if you have a lot of yes people around you, it's nice to have someone who just kicks you in the ass.
Yeah. And I always like to do this to my clients. I say, I'm holding up the mirror with love, but you said this and you're doing this. So let's talk about it.
Okay. I love that. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was a perfect conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was so juicy and sparkly with our generator energy.
Woo-hoo!
Yes.
Love it. Thanks for everything. And we look forward to having you back, hopefully.
Yes, definitely. Thanks again.
If you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to subscribe and share, because what do we say, baby?
Sharing is caring.